In this week's Oxcast Extra, I'm speaking to Joe Watkins, owner of Darnison Stitch. Hello, Joe.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
So, what is Darnet and Stitch?
Darnet and Stitch is a haberdashery shop.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it a little like sort of delicatessen of haberdashery. So, it's ribbons, yarn, sewing threads, all your little bits and bobs for sewing. We do some fabrics, bit of vintage stuff now and again, but it's just a sort of general mixture of sewing and knitting paraphernalia, really.
Cool. Yeah, how did you get started?
Well, I've always been interested in textiles and sewing and things like that, and I did a textile degree and then moved to Oxford afterwards and was sort of frustrated by the lack of an inspiring place to go. There was places to go, but none that I found really sort of make you go, oh yeah, you know, I want to make that. And so I was working part-time, my job was all right, but, you know, it wasn't floating my boat, and I thought, okay, well, there's a gap in the market, I think I can fill it. So I sort of quit my job, bought a van, and had a little bit of money, put that into stock, a very, very small amount of stock, and got a market stall on the Gloucester Green Market.
All right.
And that was kind of it, because I just set up, and then people would come every week, and they would come back every week, and I would put the money back into stock, and it just built that way. And within about a year, I thought, okay, this is good, I need a shop. And the shop came up where I am now, on Blue Boar Street, and I'd wanted it for a while, and I thought, oh, it's really lovely, I can really imagine it. I used to walk past it all the time, going, oh, it's got to be mine, and then finally, it came up and I got it, and it just went from there, sort of like being dropped onto a motorway, really. Like, very fast, had to catch up with what was going on in Oxford. But no, it was really, yeah. So 5 years later, suddenly,
yeah,
and we're still there, so it's good.
It's brilliant. I've walked past it a few times, and it looks like a sweet shop to me.
That's
like,
the idea. I'm glad you think
that's
so.
That's how I see it.
It should be like a pick-and-mix shop, where you go and you want a little bit of everything. Oh, so
every time, I'm good. Always like, ooh. And I'm not even into haberdashery.
Really?
And such.
Oh, no. Well, there you go, that's even better.
No, brilliant. I hear you celebrated Darnet and Stitch's fifth birthday recently.
Yeah.
What did you do to celebrate?
We had a pop-up cafe. So we had tea and cake upstairs, because we've got the workshop space above, which normally we teach in. But every birthday I sort of think, oh, what can we do this year? And we've had lots of different things, but I thought cafe would go down well, because I would love to have a cafe there all the time, but it's just not logistically possible at the moment. But it would be great to have a sort of stitching cafe in Oxford. So we're going to be doing more pop-ups, but not a permanent fixture. So we did that, trialled it, and it worked really well, so it was fun. But yeah, so that was it, and we just ate a lot of cake, actually.
Yeah. Sounds like a good birthday.
Yeah, it's a good birthday.
You've already sort of touched upon this. Can you list all the things you sell? I'm quite curious.
Okay, all right. Okay, so
here's your challenge.
Knitting yarns, and crochet, you know, for knitting, crochet, whatever you fancy doing, and all the implements that go with that, so hooks and needles. I'm sort of mentally walking around the shop here. We've got buttons, we do bias bindings, that's for putting edges on clothing and things when you've made it. Pattern books, patterns, all sorts of trims, ribbons, sewing patterns, fabric, different fabrics. Gosh, I'm trying to walk around there. And then there's a big sort of drawer unit, which has got all sorts of, I mean, anything from bodkins to bobbins and everything in between.
Yeah.
So I'd be here for a very long time if I read out my stock take.
Oh, gosh.
But they're the main meat of it is ribbons, buttons, yarn and fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the most unusual thing you stock in terms of sewing and, well, haberdashery?
Unusual?
Yeah. Like, most difficult to source.
Oh, well, we've got a very unique yarn. If you like your knitting and you're a bit of a yarn fan, we've got Oxford Kitchen Yarns, which is a lovely lady called Katie, grows the dyes in her garden, and then she dyes the yarn in her kitchen in Headington, and then she delivers it to us. So we're the only person in the world that stock Oxford Kitchen Yarns. And it's a real sort of, like, they're like collector's pieces, if you like, you know, your fibres and things, because each batch is different, so the colours she would have come up with, they're all natural, but they all come out differently every time, and they're beautiful. So that would, I would say that was the most unusual one. That's the one that tourists love, because it's unique to Oxford. You can't get it anywhere else. So
that's incredible.
It's impressive.
Yeah, that's
she's
really
amazing.
Impressive.
Yeah.
How many patterns do you have in your pattern library? This is something I read,
oh my
but I just
goodness.
Found it so. Sorry, what's the most interesting pattern then?
Pattern, knitting or sewing?
Oh, knitting and sewing.
Knitting. One of the favourite ones is actually one that we wrote ourselves, which is really fun. And because I like the challenge of trying to design things that come out of a set quantity of yarn. So a lot of times when you buy patterns, you have a bit left over, and that really annoys me because you have these little random like balls. Yeah, exactly. So we've set about designing these patterns, and we've done a few now. Mm-hmm. The best one is Doris the Drape, which is a one skein of yarn, which is 100 grams, big twist of lovely silky yarn, mm-hmm. and you turn it into a piece of knitting, which can be either a cowl, so you can button it up around your neck, or, depending on how you finish it, you can make it into a little shrug that goes over your shoulders. Oh. So that's the one that we sort of do a lot of, and it's a bit different, but I'd say that maybe.
And then with sewing?
Sewing, unusual. There are a few interesting dog coat patterns in the catalogue. Yeah.
Cool.
There are some amazing ones where you look at the packet and it's a whole family in matching... matching. So, you know, the dad's got pyjamas, the mum's got pyjamas, the kid has pyjamas, and so does the dog. So that's quite nice. We like... Yeah, we like that.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
So can you tell me more about Pinworks, your workshops?
Yes, so Pinworks kind of sprung from the the loins, as it were, of the shop, because after about a year, people... was sort of saying, you know, what happened very quickly were people were saying, I want to learn how to do this. And I thought, oh, we'll do a few knitting classes upstairs, nice and cosy. And it just, again, sort of snowballed, really, because people just wanted more and more and more. So I found more and more tutors, and then I wanted it to have its own identity, which is when it became Pinworks, because it's a very different beast to the shop. It's a very different sort of thing to work with. And now it's got its own identity. We're really busy. We do sort of three classes a week, I would say, at the moment, and it can be anything from pattern cutting, dressmaking, to knitting, crochet.
Yeah.
Some of it's seasonal, so we do more sort of knitting and crochet in the winter and the autumn, but in the summer we sew, do sewing ones all the year round, really. So, yeah, and we've got some amazing tutors, sort of experts in their field, and they come in and it's all like a big happy family of, yeah, and people come back again and again, so it's lovely, and it's just, grown very naturally but very quickly. So yeah, that's that. And we also do hen parties. That's the other thing we've started doing more of. And we did one this weekend where we turn up at your house if you're getting married and sit in your garden, like we did embroidery this weekend, taught 20 people how to do embroidery. So it's really fun.
Yeah.
That's
a nice alternative.
Yeah, exactly. Calm, quiet, civilised.
Yes. exactly. What classes are you doing at the moment?
So we have a little break over the summer. Mm-hmm. We're just finishing off a pattern cutting course and a dressmaking course. And then we have a rest for sort of July and August. It's quite quiet, so we... sort of step back a bit, sort the workshop out, count our needles, check they're all there, and then kick off again in September with a full timetable, which will be available really soon. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
What class would you recommend for a complete novice like myself?
Well, if you want to just have a go, mm-hmm. we do a really good course on a class on a Saturday as part of our Saturday workshops, which is a one-off, and it's Make Friends With Your Sewing Machine.
Ah.
So you can either bring along a machine you've got, or you can use one of ours, and it's for anyone who has just looked at a sewing machine and gone, I don't even know where to begin. So we show you literally from how to plug it in, thread it up, to hopefully, and then by the end of it you usually make something. So that's a really, really popular one, and we do a lot of that one. So I would recommend that.
That's good.
And then that'll kind of dictate as to where you want to go next.
Yeah. How about more sort of able crafters? What workshop would you suggest for them?
More able? Pattern cutting.
Yeah.
That's a really good one, because that if you've struggled to buy clothing that doesn't fit you, you know, like things like, I always have to buy things that are too big for me and take them in on the waist because I'm sort of a strange shape. But so that's really good, because you take measurements of your body and you make a pattern from your own measurements, so there's no tweaking that has to be done, and then you use that template to then go on and design your own patterns for whatever you want. So that's a really good one if you've got a bit of sewing experience but you just want to kind of crack on and master the next level. So we do a lot of that. That's getting more and more popular, actually, and we're about to add a trouser one. Before we've only done the top half, so making a blouse or a dress using your bodice measurements, but we're actually going to go on to do trousers this autumn. So
I imagine that's going to be very popular.
Because
trousers
are a nightmare.
Struggle.
Yeah,
absolute nightmare.
Exactly. So that's what I would say for those people.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'll tell my mum. She'll be delighted. What's your favourite thing to make?
I do like a bit of knitting.
Yeah.
Knitting is where my kind of heart lies, I think, because it's easy to pick up. You don't have to set anything up. It can just be with you on the bus. It can be with you in the car for when you're, you know, a passenger, obviously, knit while you're driving. And that's always good. But then it is lovely sewing as well. But sewing's slightly different, and you have to get your space ready. You have to get your machine out. You have to get your cut out your fabric, all that kind of thing. So that's a bit more if you've got a block of time.
Yeah.
If you've only got a little bit of time, knitting or crochet is what I like to do.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular you like to knit?
I like making small things for my daughters. I've got two daughters, so they're small. So you can kind of start a project and finish it quite quickly.
Yeah.
I very rarely make anything for myself, actually. It's more the satisfaction of making things for children is that you can get it done quickly and it feels like you're very productive because you're making lots of tiny things instead of one big thing.
So, yeah. That's nice. What's your least favourite thing to make?
Oh, blimey. I don't think I have a least favourite thing.
Good.
Socks, actually.
Socks. Oh.
A lot of people love knitting socks, and I've really tried to embrace the sock knitting love, and I respect these sock knitters a great deal, because I lose interest after one sock. Oh. And there are ways you can knit two at the same time, but it's not, you know, I've tried, but it's not my forte, so yeah.
Oh, do you do alterations and custom?
We do, yeah, we do alterations and darning. We do a lot of darning. That's something that's grown. I mean, we always did a little bit of it, but it's just word of mouth spreads. Yeah. We don't really advertise it because we get enough as it is. But that's good. So we do a lot of that, and we have an amazing seamstress who does, you know, all the alterations and fittings and things. And she is especially good with high end fabrics. So if you've got a wedding dress or, you know, ball dresses, we've got loads of those.
That's good.
So she's
know.
Particularly good with those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's going to be quite difficult to find someone to do a decent alteration.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it does cost. It's a service that does cost money, and people are sort of usually sometimes afraid of that, and they're not willing to pay it. But then when you explain it as a skill, very, very good skill that someone has spent years developing, then that's what you're paying for. So once people find someone, I think they get it. But if you've had a bad alteration and then you've got to pay for, you know, that's not good. But we pride ourselves. We've got a good, very good system.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen you've been hosting crafty networking events. What are they?
Yeah, well, that was something that I got involved with a few years ago. It was with the O3 Gallery and also the Pitt Rivers Museum as part of a lottery-funded project called Verve. And it was just about bringing people who are craftsmen in the original sense, you know, sort of lovely, very skilled practitioners in lots of different types of work. So it could be leather work, or it could be sewing, or it could be illustration, all these sorts of things. And we wanted to bring people together in Oxford because we just felt, again, there wasn't as much of that going on as there could be.
Yeah.
So we developed that, and that was people come together, and we have a speaker who is from the world of craft somewhere, and Each time it's focusing on a different element, and they do a brilliant speech, and then we sort of all mingle, you know, chat, find out what other people are doing in Oxford, and that's, it's really lovely, actually. It's usually every 3 months at the Pitt Rivers or the O3 Gallery.
Yeah.
And I'm now a sort of background sponsor of it, rather than being fully involved anymore, but it's something that I've definitely involved with before, and it's a really good programme.
Yeah. When's the next one?
The next one is July, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I need to check the dates, but yeah.
Cool. You have a book.
A book? Oh, what, the little Darn It and Stitch?
Yeah, that's what I...
So that is my, self-published booklet. It's more of a booklet of patterns. Again, going back to my, one ball obsession. We did a range of patterns that each came from one ball, because a lot of people... Yarn isn't that cheap. You know, if you want to knit a jumper, you're talking sometimes 50, 60, 70 quid. For a good, lovely yarn that you're actually going to enjoy knitting and wearing. So we thought, right, okay, lots of people come in and say, oh, you know, can I make a jumper out of these two balls? And I'm like, no, sorry, maybe for a tiny person. But so we designed these patterns that come from one, so we sell a lot of those for beginners, basically, and also it makes a good gift. So it's a cheaper way of getting into knitting, but without just coming out with a wonky sort of length that could be a scarf.
Yeah.
We've designed specific, very simple patterns that you can actually finish and wear and be proud of.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, that'd be really useful.
Yeah, that's good.
Great. Plans for the future?
Oh, there's always something going on. Something going on. I've got notebooks of plans. I think now that I'm not in the shop as much because I've got two young children, so I tend to sort of take more of a backseat role, and I'm in there every so often, but I'm very much on the power desk in the background.
Yeah.
Always trying to find more products to go in, like interesting products. I like things that are unusual. The fabrics that we have are all hand-picked by me, so you won't see a full range. It's all I have chosen, every single one.
That's brilliant.
Usually with customers in mind, because I know exactly which customers will buy exactly which fabric, which is quite fun. And then, but I'm interested in kind of building on that a little bit more with yarns and finding more indie dyers and more, very independent fabric producers possibly.
Yeah.
It's quite tricky to find and keeping the costs customer friendly, but I'm working on it. And more patterns, there's always more patterns to be written.
Yeah. Great, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah, it's fun.
How can people see what you've done? Have you got a Facebook page?
We've got a Facebook page, mm-hmm. We've got an Instagram feed, we've got, we're on Twitter a little bit. We don't do as much Twitter because I like using the very visual things, like Facebook and Instagram work really well, and obviously our website, which is dyingitinstitch.com, that's got all our patterns on it and a general overview of what we do. But I would say that Facebook and Instagram are the best places to find
us. What are your addresses?
On Facebook it's just Darn It and Stitch, and we'll come up and like us, and then Instagram is the same, Darn It and Stitch, all one word, so yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jo.
No worries.
Thank you.